to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's past. Mark Levone, your host for an hour of sitcoms. Later on, it's Burns and Allen with special guests James and Pamela Mason. But first, the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. With an addition to the family, this Armed Forces Radio Service broadcast heard in the later 1940s.
Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring young America's favorite couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Now over to the Nelson household at 1847 Rogers Road. As we join them, Harriet is in the living room, very busy with her knitting, when Ozzie enters the room.
Hello, honey. What have you been doing? You look a little beat up.
Oh, I've been outside working on my victory garden. I think the birds have eaten up most of the seeds, though.
Well, I thought you put up that scarecrow, and he was doing such a wonderful job.
That scarecrow's as good as nothing. You know what I think?
What?
Every time the sun comes out good and hot, he sneaks down to the corner for a short beer.
Well, at least working in that garden gets you out in the sun a little.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I'm looking pretty healthy, don't you? Of course, it was kind of a rugged winter, you know, and I still have these circles under my eyes.
Mm-hmm, but they look much better now. They used to go all the way around, didn't they? Hey, what happened to the side of your face there?
Oh, I cut it, shaving as usual. Hey, which reminds me, were you sharpening pencils with my straight razor yesterday?
Of course not, dear.
Are you positive?
Certainly.
I had an awful time with a blade this morning. I'll bet somebody was sharpening pencils with it yesterday.
Ozzie, that's absolutely impossible, because I had it with me in the garden all day yesterday, cutting out weeds.
Now, look, honey, a razor blade is only for shaving. When I put shaving cream on my face and I get it good and lathered, and then I run the razor over my whiskers...
Yes?
I like to cut them off, not line them up. Now, the only thing for me to do is get an electric razor, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It'll make weeding the garden so much faster.
No, fine.
Say, will you look through that bundle of old clothes before I get them to the release?
Okay. Hmm. Hey, where'd you find this stuff, anyway?
Most of it was in the attic.
Oh, boy, where did this long woolen underwear come from?
Well, don't you remember? You bought those for yourself when we were first married.
Oh, yeah. I really started from scratch, didn't I? Well, honey, wait a minute. Don't give this away. This is my old football suit. Oh, what memory. Oh. Hey, I can't find my shoulder pads here. Wonder where the shoulder pads are.
Well, don't you remember, honey? Last year you asked me to sew them in your sport coat.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of tired. That working in the garden must have done me in.
Ozzie, look out. You're sitting on the...
Oh,
knitting needle.
Why in the world do you always leave knitting needles on the chair point up? I don't know why you insist on knitting anyway. I'll admit you make good pies and you bake good cakes.
Well, for your information, I'm getting pretty darn good at this, too. I've been knitting so much lately, I knit with my eyes closed.
I think that's how you knitted that last sweater for me, with your eyes closed.
Well, so what if I did make it a little large? I thought you'd grow into it.
Harriet, I may get a little heavier, but my arms aren't going to get 2 feet longer.
Well, couldn't you roll the sleeves up?
Oh, I like it where I have it now, as a throw rug in my den.
Well, don't worry, because this one doesn't happen to be for you.
You know, I never will forget that first sweater you knitted for me. Remember, you knitted the back and the front and the sleeves all separately, and then you didn't know how to put it together?
I finally did manage to.
Yeah, it was so hard to wear. That scotch tape kept coming off.
Well, it was your own idea.
Hey, that sure is a small sweater you're knitting there. Who's that for, a midget?
You'll find out when I'm ready to tell you, not before. It happens to be a little surprise. Oh, my goodness, look at the time. I'm supposed to be downtown. Here, give me that sweater. Stop looking so puzzled. It's supposed to be a surprise. See you later, dear.
Yeah, I wonder what it's... Well, of course. Knitting a little sweater. So that's her surprise. Oh-ho! And that Bing Crosby thinks he's so smart.
Nelson.
I just stopped in to see how Mrs. Nelson likes my new hairdo.
Well, I'm awful sorry, Emmy Lou, but she just went downtown. However, if you'd like the opinion of a slightly aging juvenile, I should say it looks super.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nelson.
Got a big date for tonight?
Well, sort of. It seems that this boy is stationed near here, and his mother is a friend of Mother and Daddy, one of those things. He's a terribly nice boy, but I feel like I'm sort of robbing the cradle.
Oh, he's pretty young, hey?
Young? He's practically a child.
But he's in the Army?
Yes.
I see. Well, I won't tell anybody. But I do have a little secret for you.
Oh, really? What is it?
Oh, I don't know, though. This has to be kept a secret, and you sort of have that, oh, just wait until I run over and tell the girls in the sorority look in your eye.
Oh, no, Mr. Nelson, tell me, please.
Well, it seems there's going to be a new arrival at the Nelson household.
A baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, wait till I tell. Oh, Mr. Nelson. How can anybody possibly keep a secret like that? When did Mrs. Nelson tell you?
Well, as a matter of fact, she didn't yet. You see, she's trying to pull a big surprise. But I'm a little too smart for her. I happened to see her knitting a little sweater, you see, and...
What's the matter, Mr. Nelson?
Nothing. Just a little dizziness. It'll pass. As I said, I noticed her knitting this tiny garment, you see, and... Oh, I'm sorry. Would you care for one of these pickles? All of a sudden, I seem to have a craving for them.
No, thanks.
Well, anyway, here's what I'm going to do. You see, I'm going down to the department store and buy a complete outfit of baby stuff. You know, all the clothes and all the... everything, you see?
Oh, I catch. And then when she tells you what the surprise is, you can prove that you knew it all along.
Right.
Has the busy cell gone, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, don't worry about me. I've been a father twice, you know.
Oh, yes, I know. Let me see. Ricky is 5 and David's about 8 now, isn't he?
That's right. And gosh, you know, it seems like yesterday that Harriet was singing that song they wrote for David when he was a baby. I remember the night she introduced it. It was on Bing's program.
His father and his mother and his sister and his brother and his cousins and his aunt. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. Who's the ruler of the kitchen and the parlor and the bedroom, every corner where his little feet can dance. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. Nice and quiet, who's the little lad? Likes to start a riot because it's fun being bad. Who's the perfect little resident? Who's gonna be the president? Why, anyone can tell you at a glance. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan.
The loudest little shouter, who's the cutest little pouter, to his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. And from breakfast time till supper, who's the leading breaker-upper of the furniture, the dishes, and the pan? Nobody else but the kid in the three-cornered pan. The sun above us is the moon and stars. Long as he will love us, this whole wide world will be ours. He's a naughty little rascal. He's a nuisance, but we wouldn't take a million for him if we had the chance. That's what we think of the kid in the three-cornered pan.
And now with this little stranger arriving, the song will be new all over again.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Oh, say, if you want to get those baby things before the store closes, you better hurry.
Oh, you're right. Well, thanks. I'll be on my way. Goodbye, Emmy Lou.
Goodbye, Mr. Nelson.
Mm-hmm. transporting goods, men's clothing, boots and shoes, and your coupons, ready? Don't you want to get off here, mister?
No, thanks. I'm going to the next floor. That's the last one, I believe.
Well, I don't like to seem personal, but the next floor is the maternity department.
Well, it probably seems strange, but I'm going to surprise my wife.
You're going to surprise your wife. I wonder if there's such a thing as elevator fatigue.
I guess I didn't make myself very clear. You see, my wife doesn't think I know about it, but I saw her knitting a little sweater.
Oh, knitting a little sweater, hey? Mm-hmm. Hey, what color?
Why do you ask?
Well, if it was blue, she's expecting a boy, and if it was pink, she's expecting a girl. Oh. What color was it?
Green.
Now, that's a devil-may-care attitude. Well, so long, and congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I'd give you a cigar, but I don't have one with me. They're so hard to get these days.
Yeah, ain't it the truth? Hey, did you hear the one about the guy who found his favorite brand of cigars? He was so happy, he went around giving away his children. So long, bud. Don't take no wooden diapers.
Very funny, wooden diapers. He doesn't know, but that's what they're making them out of now. Gosh, this might be a little embarrassing. Look at all the women. Nothing on this floor but women. I bet I'm the only...
May I help you, sir?
Oh, well, that is... Well, yes, I'm going to have a baby.
Well, why come here? Have you tried Hobby Lobby? Joking, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I am a little flustered.
Haven't you ever been a father before?
Oh, yes, twice. We have two boys now.
I see. Are they in the service?
No, they're just 5 years and 8 years old.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, now, what can I do for you?
Well, I want to buy some of the regular baby things.
Well, this is the baby department. Anything you want?
Well, really don't know.
Well, how about a bassinet?
A bassinet?
Mm-hmm. Could you use a bassinet?
Well, yes, I guess so. Now, what else should a baby have these days?
Sure. Well, how about some rubber pants?
Rubber pants? Yes, that sounds good. It does rain quite a bit here in California.
Oh, brother. What else?
I tell you, I'll take some of those little nighties up there. And some of these little shirties. And a few blankets and some of those three-cornered pants. You better make those king size.
Okay. How about some talcum powder?
Talcum powder? Oh, no, he won't shave for a long time.
Why did I say that before? Will that be all, then?
Yes, I guess I'll be fine. And will you send them out to the house, please? The name is Nelson.
Okay. And the address?
1847 Rogers Road.
Rogers Road. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Nelson. And I'll bet the baby will look just like you.
Well, we won't care as long as he's healthy. I hope my wife doesn't buy all the same things I just bought. I think she's out making preparations for the new arrival, too.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Nelson. May I help you?
Yes, thank you.
Now, don't tell me you've finished knitting the little sweater already.
Well, no, not yet. But before I went any further, I want to make sure I was making the sweater in the right size.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're perfectly welcome to check for yourself. He's in the left-hand cage, the third Cocker Spaniel from the end.
Thanks. I can't wait till we get him home. He's the cutest little dog in your store.
Well, say, does your husband know about the surprise yet?
Well, he was getting a little suspicious, so I did hint about the new arrival. But I didn't say whether it was going to be a cat or a dog or a parrot, so I'm sure he doesn't know what kind of an animal to expect.
Well, I see. I'll send the dog over whenever you notify me. I hope your husband will be surprised.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Goodbye.
To put it mildly, things have gotten pretty confused with the occupants of 1847 Rogers Road since Ozzie walked in and saw Harriet knitting a sweater for the Cocker Spaniel she's purchased. As a matter of fact, Ozzie is still out shopping for baby things. As our scene opens, Harriet is phoning the pet shop.
Hello?
Oh! Hello?
This is Mr. Kern.
This is Mrs. Kern! This is Ozzie Nelson. You left word for me to phone you.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry to trouble you, Mrs. Nelson.
How are you troubling you, Mrs. Nelson?
Oh, darn that parrot. Why? I'm sorry, Mrs. Nelson.
I understand. But what is it, Mr. Kearns? I hope my puppy's all right.
Oh, yes, yes, he's fine. But I'm afraid I have some bad news for you. I'm only the clerk here, you understand. And the owner has just informed me that the Cocker Spaniel you chose cannot be sold without his sister. They've been together since they were born, and he wants to keep them together. Naturally, I'll refund your deposit, unless, of course, you're willing to take both of them.
Oh, well, gee, I'm really crazy about that little Cocker Spaniel, and I've already promised my husband a surprise. Oh, I guess it'll be all right. I'll take both of them.
Oh, fine. I'm so glad. I'll keep them here till you want them, Mrs. Nelson.
Where you want them, Mrs. Nelson?
Thank you. Goodbye.
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 Oh, shut up.
Shut up. Well, looks like Ozzie's going to get a double surprise. Oh, Gloria. Gloria.
Can you call me Mrs. Nelson?
Yes, I did, Gloria. I just found out that the little Cocker Spaniel I was going to buy has a twin sister. So I'm going to take both of them.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. I just about finished knitting one of the little sweaters, and, well, I wondered if you'd help me with the other.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
Oh, thanks, Gloria. Now, remember now, don't you say anything to Mr. Nelson, because it's supposed to be a surprise. Big secret.
Oh, you can depend on me, Mrs. Nelson. Nobody can keep a secret better than I can. You know my boyfriend, Elmer?
Yes.
Well, I've been secretly engaged to him for 2 years and nobody knows about it.
Oh, nobody at all?
Not even Elmer.
Well, that's fine, Gloria. Oh, by the way, when Mr. Nelson comes in, would you tell him I'd like to see him, please?
Okay.
Just been doing a little shopping.
What were you buying?
Well, come on over here and sit down, David. Your pop wants to have a little talk with you.
Okay.
Well, David, you have a birthday coming up pretty soon, haven't you?
Still quite a ways off, Pop.
Yeah, I know, but there are some things you have to plan well in advance.
What do you mean, Pop?
Well, I'll come right to the point. Your mother and I have been sort of talking things over. And for your birthday present, how would you like a little baby brother or sister?
Well, if it's all the same to you and Mother, I'd rather have a pony.
Well, I'm afraid a pony's a little out of the question.
Bobby Vito just got a baby brother. Very nice one, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got him from Dr. Brown. Hey, we take from him, too, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do, David. Are you sure you wouldn't like a baby brother? You seem pretty interested.
Well, I wouldn't want Bobby to think I was copying him. Maybe you'd better give me a baby sister.
Oh, if you're afraid of copying Bobby, maybe we could get his mother and father to exchange their baby.
Well, I don't think they'd take him back. You see, they've already used him 4 days.
Well, I tell you, think it over anyway, David, and I'll talk to you later. Oh, hello, Gloria.
I'll see you later, Pop.
Hello, Mr. Nelson. Did you know that Mrs. Nelson was looking for you?
Oh, no, I didn't. I just got home a little while ago. I had quite a day shopping.
Oh, have you been shopping?
I'll say. I've been to the May Company, the Broadway, Saks Fifth Avenue, and a couple of others.
Oh, Saks Fifth Avenue. I used to be a sales girl there.
Oh, I didn't know that, Gloria.
Oh, yes. And they paid me a big honor when I worked there.
Really?
Yeah, I was voted Miss Sad Sacks of 1945.
Fine. Where is Mrs. Nelson?
She's in the other room working on that little sweater.
Oh, so you know about the big surprise, too, hey?
Oh, yeah. Have you heard the latest development?
Latest development?
There's going to be two of them.
Two of them? Twins, eh? Gosh.
Did I ever tell you I used to be twins?
You used to be twins?
Yes, my mother wrote and told me she has a picture of me when I was two.
You've been reading those old joke books again, eh, Gloria? Oh, Harriet.
Yes, honey, I'm in here.
Now, look, Harriet, you don't need to try to fool me any longer, because I know all about your surprise, and I think it's wonderful.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad you feel that way about them. You old smarty pants. I can't keep anything from you, can I?
Oh, I'm afraid I'm pretty sharp.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be two, you know.
So Gloria told me. But are you sure there'll be two?
Oh, positive.
That radar is wonderful, isn't it?
Darling, look. I want you to promise me one thing.
Anything at all, little mother?
Well, if they make too much noise and keep you awake, let me know, and I'll have them sleep in the garage.
In the garage?
Oh, yes, it'll be very comfortable. We'll get a little box with some blankets in it and put it over there to the ash can.
Honestly, dear, you have a strange sense of humor sometimes. Oh, I just thought of something. Now I'd better buy a war bond for the other little fella, too.
What do you mean?
Well, when I heard about the little stranger coming to our house, I bought a war bond in his name.
Why, Ozzy, that's silly.
Silly? Oh, now, wait a minute, honey. Don't say a thing like that. Just because the war in Europe is over, don't think for a minute that we can stop buying war bonds. Because now more than ever before...
Oh, Ozzy, you know me better than that.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. You mean because he doesn't even have a name or anything yet? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I have a particular preference as to his name.
You have?
Mm-hmm. So I put the bond in his name in an envelope on your dresser. And when he arrives, you can open it up and see how you like the name I picked out for him.
It sounds like quite a routine.
By the way, I haven't asked you, when do you expect the little strangers will arrive?
Sometime next week.
Oh, next week? Now, wait a minute.
Well, of course. I could have had them today.
Today?
Well, yes. But first, I want to make sure they had their tails clipped and they didn't have any feet. You see, they're down at Joe's pet shop.
Wait a minute. You mean you're knitting that sweater for a dog?
Well, of course. Didn't you know that? You said that you... Ozzy, you didn't say...
Oh, no, of course. Naturally, I knew it was a dog. It was...
Pardon me. Some fellow just delivered a big package from a department store. It's for you, Mr. Nelson, from the baby department.
From Gloria, he's got the wrong address. Just tell him to take it back.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Nelson, but I opened the package already.
Oh, you opened it?
Yeah, and you should see. 3 dozen of the cutest little face towels.
3 dozen face towels?
Gloria, those aren't face towels. Wrap them up and send them back. And send back the safety pins that came with them, too. I sure did a lot of walking today.
Ozzy, do you still insist that you knew all along it was going to be a little dog?
Well, of course, Harriet. Anybody could tell that.
Well, I know I shouldn't have done this, but... Well, I got so curious that I opened the envelope.
The what envelope?
The one with the war bond you bought for the dog.
Oh.
I think think that's an awful cute name you picked out for him.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm. But won't the neighbors think it's strange that we have a Cocker Spaniel named Ozzie Nelson Jr.?
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Ozzie and Harriet, untuned to yesterday, an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast from the later 1940s. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, it's Burns and Allen with special guests, hot Hollywood property at the time, actors James and Pamela Mason. In the year of this broadcast, James was in no less than 4 motion pictures in East Side, West Side, alongside Barbara Stanwyck and Van Heflin, The Reckless Moment, with Joan Bennett, also Madame Bovary, with Jennifer Jones and Van Heflin once again. And wife Pamela did join him in a motion picture in 1949 Scott, where she played an uncredited role. She's more in the forefront in this NBC episode next with George and Gracie from February 17th, 1949.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
That drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With our special guest tonight, Mr. and Mrs. James Mason, yours truly, Toby Reed, Harry Lubin, the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Well, as we join the Burnses today, Gracie is just giving George a bit of thrilling news.
George, I just found out the most exciting thing. Guess who moved from England and lives right here in Beverly Hills?
Who?
James Mason.
No.
Yes, and his wife. Or, as they say in England, his old fruit.
Remember Mason in the Seventh Veil? Wasn't he great?
Oh, wonderful. And just think, now he's our neighbor. We're almost close enough to hear his wife scream.
Well, why should his wife scream?
Well, it must hurt when he beats her with that cane.
Gracie, he only did that in the movie. In real life, James Mason is probably very kind and gentle.
Don't you dare say such mean things about him.
Mean things?
Kind and gentle. That's a fine way to talk about that magnificent monster.
I'm sorry I insulted him.
Oh, what a man. He's Humphrey Bogart with a broad A.
Sure.
You know, some girls dream of getting a husband who'll cover them with diamonds and mink. I'd rather have James Mason and be covered with Band-Aid.
You what?
Sure. Women love to be dominated. But in all the years we've been married, you've never struck me once. You're very selfish, George.
Yes, I'm a mess.
Well, please try to act rough and rugged when the Masons get here. I'm going to invite them over for a visit.
Gracie, you can't do that. They're reserved English people, and they won't accept an invitation from a stranger.
Oh, my goodness, I feel like I know Mr. Mason. I've been using his jars for years.
That's a different Mason who makes Mason jars.
Well, my father belongs to his lodge.
That's the Masonic Lodge, and it has nothing to do with James Mason. And while you're at it, you can also forget the Mason and Dixon line.
That I knew.
Well, good.
I've never seen Dixon, but Mason doesn't need a line.
Wow, yeah.
With those piercing black eyes and that cane, all he has to do is give you a look and a clop.
Tracy, for the last time, Mason is not that type of man. He's very soft-spoken and gentle. As a matter of fact, his hobby is raising cats.
You mean pussycats?
No, Sam Cats, Balaban's partner. He owns the Chicago Theater.
Remember? We had trouble with our laundry?
Yes. Now, forget about inviting the Masons over. We have absolutely nothing in common with them.
No?
No. They're British and we're Americans. They're in the movies, we're in radio. Their hobby is raising cats, ours is raising our hoopah. I hope.
So, their hobby is raising cats.
Sure, they've written a book, The Cats in Our Lives.
I see. Well, goodbye, dear.
Where are you going?
Out.
Just a minute, just a minute, young lady. If you don't tell me where you're going, you're not leaving this house.
Oh, George, how thrilling. You ordered me not to leave the house. If you keep it up, you'll be just like James Mason.
Yeah, I'll go get my cane.
Yeah. So, dear, practice while I'm gone.
I'll practice.
Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.
George has no imagination. So we need something in common with the Masons. But we'll have it.
Yes?
Oh, hello. I'm your neighbor, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Burns? I'm Mr. Mason, and this is my wife, Pamela.
How do you do?
I just dropped by to ask you if you've seen anything of a stray cat.
No. Did you lose one?
Yes. My husband has a rare and valuable collection, and one of them disappeared.
Really? It so happens that Mrs. Mason has quite a collection of cats.
You don't say.
Yes. In our family, my wife is a fancier.
Oh, I don't know. You're pretty cute yourself.
I meant she's an expert on cats.
Oh, you mean like my husband?
Yes. How many do you have, Mrs. Burns?
Oh, only one. That's all the husbands they allow in this country.
I believe she was asking about cats, not husbands.
Well, we had 15 when I left the house. Of course, there may be more when I get back. See, our mother cat is very popular.
Is she expecting a litter?
No, her boyfriends can't write. From the back fence.
Mrs. Burns, when a cat has a litter, she gives birth to kittens.
I don't doubt it. Oh, a shock like that.
Would you care to try, Pam?
Thank you, James. Mrs. Burns, what kind of cats do you have?
The kind with four legs and fur.
Yes, of course. But do you have any Persians or Siamese?
No, we don't keep people, just cats.
She's yours again, James.
Thank you. Mrs. Burns, what is your method of raising cats?
Well, we put both hands under their tummy and lift.
Pam?
Righto. Do your cats have pedigrees?
Oh, no, no. We keep them very clean.
James?
Quiet. Have your cats ever been in a show?
Oh, yes, they love Mickey Mouse. They like your pictures, too, Mr. Mason.
Pam?
What do you feed your cats?
Cheese.
Cheese?
Well, yes, they're too aristocratic to go looking for mice. And this way, the mice smell their breath and come looking for them.
James?
No, thank you, dear. I've had enough.
Mrs. Burns, we'd like very much to have a chat with your husband.
Oh, wonderful. Here's our address. Come right over.
Thank you. Now we can see for ourselves this wonderful collection of cats.
Oh, yes, the cats. Well, you better wait for about an hour or so. I don't think they're home right now.
I suppose your husband has taken them out for an airing.
Oh, I love that English accent. He doesn't take them out for an airing. They eat airing and alibit at home. We'll be expecting you.
Well, having told the Masons that her husband has a collection of cats, Gracie now has to produce them. So she has slipped a sardine into George's coat pocket and has talked him into walking through an alley with her.
Gracie, I don't get it. Why walk through an alley? We've got sidewalks.
Oh, but this is so quiet and romantic.
Only you could think an alley is romantic.
Rita Hayworth thinks so, too.
That's a different kind of an alley. And another thing. Oh, go away, kitty. Go away. Go away. And another thing. I keep smelling fish.
Oh, well, that's just the wind blowing in from the Pacific Ocean.
It's blowing the opposite direction.
Oh? Oh, well, then it's the wind from the Atlantic Ocean.
That's the other side of New York. We're in Los Angeles.
I know. Think how it must smell in Kansas City.
And in Altoona, too. Another cat following me.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Those darling little kitties like you.
Kitties? These are Skid Row tomcats.
Oh,
coming at me from all directions. Shoot. Scats.
Oh, be careful, dear. You know, I think that black one could throw you.
Let's head for home, but fast. These broken dogs.
George, will you answer it?
I can't get up. There are 10 cats on my lap. They're swarming all over me.
Oh, all right. I'll go to the door. Oh, how do you do, Mr. and Mrs. Mason? Come right in.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns.
We're so anxious to meet your husband.
Oh, you love him, Mrs. Mason. He's the same type as your husband. Beats me all the time.
What?
Your husband beats you?
Oh, he's so British. Well, step right this way. He's frolicking with his cat.
Yes, I see him in the chair. He looks very distinguished with that long black mustache.
Oh, one of the cats has his tail in his face again. But that's my husband and his famous collection of rare cats.
Really? A bit moth-eaten, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but the cats love him anyway.
I meant the cats.
And meet George. Darling, look who's here, Mr. and Mrs. James Mason.
What?
How do you do, Mr. Burns?
How do you do?
By Jove, Mr. Burns, I've never seen cats so devoted to a man.
Yes, look, James, they're trying to stick their heads into his coat pocket.
Well, they're so shy in front of strangers.
Shoo, get off of me. Get off.
There seemed to be a curious mixture of breeds. Pam, what would you say that gray one is?
Well, it could be part Maltese, but it's difficult to tell. It's shedding its fur.
Well, yes, it's part Maltese and part striptease. Well, Mr. Mason, how do you like the collection? They're real cats, aren't they?
I'm trying to decide. Mr. Burns, your wife told us about your cat collection, but we never expected anything like this. You must have tamed these creatures with a chair and a whip.
Wait a minute. My wife told you I collected cats? Gracie, I want to speak to you in the next room.
Yes, dear. Excuse me, please.
Certainly.
Come on. Oh, stop. Stop hanging on to me. Get away. Get away.
Well, Pam, isn't that the oddest collection of cats you ever saw?
Yes, but they fit in nicely with the people.
Ah. Mrs. Burns is a bit eccentric, isn't she?
Quite.
Of course, you can't blame her. That cologne he uses would drive anyone nuts.
Yes. It must be called Evening on a Live Bait Boat.
Strange people, these Americans.
Well, George still doesn't know that Gracie slipped a sardine into his coat pocket so that his popularity with cats would impress the James Masons.
Oh, quiet. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Get off of me. You back-fence baritones.
No, George, please. The Mason's right in the next room.
Can't understand why these cats keep trying to stick their heads into my coat pocket. The world could be in there that, Gracie, what is this you put in my pocket?
Just a cigar, dear.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've looked at a lot of cigars. But this is the first one that looked back at me. Here, look at it.
Oh, how cute. A cigar with a mouth. It can blow out its own smoke.
Gracie, this is a sardine.
Really? Well, here, I'll light it for you.
You expect me to smoke this?
Why not? My brother Willie works in the cannery. He smokes fish all day.
So that's why these cats followed me. You stuck this fish in my pocket.
Well, darling, I wanted to make a good impression on James Mason and his wife. They're crazy about cats.
Well, fine. They can have these as a present. Come on. Excuse us for being so long, folks.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Mason, my husband has decided to give you his rare collection of cats.
What?
It's a gesture to welcome you to this country.
We should have stood in England.
That black one might be useful, James. You could hang your hat on its hip bone.
Yeah. Say, wait a minute. Look at that magnificent white person under the chair.
Oh, he's a splendid fellow. I didn't see him before.
I think he's been hiding from the others.
Mrs. Mason, if you like him, he's yours.
Oh, Mr. Burns, do you mean it?
Certainly.
Oh, I could just kiss you.
Well, you better not kiss my husband. If you do, I'll kiss your husband.
I didn't really mean it, Mrs. Burns.
No, come on, please kiss him.
I think you meant that.
Honey, we better be running along.
Yes, thank you again for this wonderful cat.
Well, tally ho, Mrs. Mason, or as you English say, goodbye.
I'll carry the cat outside for you.
Pram, I have an idea. Let's call the cat George in honor of our favorite American entertainer.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
Why not? That George Jessel is a very clever chap.
Oh, yes, Jessel, one of Edward's boys, yes.
Goodbye, and thanks again.
Goodbye.
George, what were you three talking about out there?
Nothing, dear.
You know, Mrs. Mason certainly has a crush on you. I'm surprised she didn't take you home.
Oh, stop.
Well, she started flirting with you the minute she walked into this house. I saw her give you the double wink.
The double wink?
Well, sure. She took one look at you and closed both eyes.
Yes, she adores me. George, I just dropped by to tell you that you're in big trouble. One of the neighbors says you stole his white Persian tomcat.
Holy smoke. Followed me home and I gave it to James Mason.
Well, then you better get it back. That's a valuable animal. That's the second most famous tomcat in town.
Second?
I'm the first.
Gosh, Bill, I'm ashamed to ask for that cat back. You do it for me.
Okay. Gee, I never thought the day had come when I'd say I wanted George Burns' puss.
Come on, I'll drive you over there. I've just got to get that cat back.
Well, Pam, how are you getting on with the new cat?
Oh, famously, darling. I've bathed him and brushed him, and he's simply beautiful. Aren't you, George?
Meow.
See, he already responds to his new name.
Strange that Burns should have one thoroughbred among all those mongrels. You know, I'll wager it was Mrs. Burns who collected all those battered old veterans.
Why should she do that?
Well, having acquired Mr. Burns, she wanted a matched set.
Would you answer the door, darling? I want to go out in the garden and have a romp with George.
Very well, dear.
Come along, boy.
Hiya, Jimmy. How's the boy?
I beg your pardon. Have we met?
Well, no, but surely you recognize me. I do picture work.
I'm sorry, we have none to befriend.
No, I act in pictures. I'm the darling of the American screen. Haven't you seen these dimples, these blonde curls?
Don't tell me you're Mary Pickford.
I'm Bill Goodwin. But enough about me. Mr. Burns sent me over to ask you if you'd return that white Persian cat.
But that was a gift to Mrs. Mason, and she's become extremely fond of it.
Well, I'm sure she listened to reason. You British are such fine, generous people. You've always been so gracious and understanding. Aww. That's the basis of the wonderful relationship between our two countries. That traditional British love of fair play and good sportsmanship.
By Jove, I like the way you talk, Mr. Goodwin.
And every word comes straight from my heart.
Let's continue this discussion over a cup of tea.
Fine. Well, as I was saying, you privy... Ooh! Tea! How dare you insult me like that?
I drink nothing but Maxwell House coffee. Offering me tea. Can't you British take a hint? We dumped that stuff overboard 200 years ago. What are you trying to do, start another revolution?
Sorry.
You'll never talk this country out of Maxwell House coffee. Huh? It's America's favorite brand. A blend of choice Highland-grown Latin American coffees, radiant roasted to the peak of flavor perfection. And you want us to drink tea? You skinny Charles Lawton.
Calm down, Mr. Goodwin. I'm well aware of the merits of Maxwell House coffee. I think it's quite delicious and refreshing.
It's too late to butter up to me now. I'm going out among people who know that Maxwell House coffee is rich and mellow, good to the last drop. Goodbye.
Bill, where's the cat? What did Mason say?
Oh, George, I'm too mad to talk about it. I'm going over to the golf course and cool off.
Okay, I'll talk to you over there. I'll meet you on the first tee.
Tee? Take that. Oh. Goodbye, you traitor.
I wonder why he slugged me. I'm his boss. I give him a salary. Why, every week I pay him... Maybe I better give him a raise.
Meanwhile, Gracie has learned that her husband was last seen at the Masons. Convinced that Mrs. Mason is trying to steal him, Gracie hurries over to get him back.
I'll get it, Pam. It may be that mad coffee merchant again. Oh, it's you, Mrs. Burns. Come in.
I've come to get George.
Oh, please don't. I've grown so fond of him.
Must you take him away?
Yes, I must.
Mrs. Burns, I appeal to you.
You certainly do, but I've come to get George.
Please let my wife keep him, Mrs. Burns.
You wouldn't object?
Not at all. If it makes Pam happy, I'll even let him sleep on the foot of our bed.
Gee, you English are broad-minded.
I'm sure James will be glad to pay you for him.
You want to buy him?
Yes, I'll give you $50. Why'd you hesitate, Mrs. Burns? Is he worth more?
No, the price is right, but I love him.
I don't blame you. He is adorable. He has such a shiny coat.
Well, if you think that's shiny, wait till you see his pants.
What a cute way to describe his little fuzzy legs.
You've seen those?
Certainly, when I gave him his bath.
You gave him a bath?
Yes.
Well, if he lets you do that, I've lost him. He's yours, Mrs. Mason.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, but be kind to him. Remember, he's getting old.
You'd never know it. He acts quite frisky around me.
Well, it's your first day together. He was frisky on our first day, too.
Any particular diet we should give him?
Oh, no. Just to help him to the table and put a napkin around his neck so he won't spill food on himself.
You think of him almost as a man, don't you?
Well, yes, and you must, too, no matter how people laugh.
Any other instructions?
Well, he's used to having a clean nightshirt every week.
He sleeps in a nightshirt?
Always.
Well, it's a sweet idea, but aren't they rather bunchy around the tail?
Well, not if you get them full. And, always have plenty of cigars for him.
George smokes cigars?
A dozen a day.
He'd be a sensation in vaudeville.
No, you're wrong. He tried it. I'll be going. Tell him goodbye for me.
Wouldn't you like to see him before you go? After his bath, he looks so cute and fluffy.
No, I'm going home. Just tell him he can stop by any time and pick up his golf clubs and toothbrush. Goodbye.
Did she say golf clubs and toothbrush?
Yes. Pam, we've really got ourselves a cat.
Hello, Gracie. I'm home.
Well, decided to come crawling home to me. Eh, Fluffy?
Fluffy?
My, aren't we nice and clean after our bath?
Fluffy?
I suppose you had a perfectly delightful afternoon. Enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I did.
You did, eh? Well, I'm leaving.
Why is she mad at me? I'm her husband. Her partner. Every week I divide our salary. I give her... Maybe I better start splitting it even.
Join us again next Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Harry Lubin, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed.
Good night, everybody. We're a little late.
Good things.
The easy way.
Do you like good things the easy way? Then get instant Maxwell House coffee.
So good.
So good. True coffee flavor and fragrance, because instant Maxwell House is not a so-called coffee product. It's all pure Maxwell House coffee in instant form.
And so easy.
So easy. Instant Maxwell House means great coffee instantly in your cup. No fuss, no muss, no bother. Today, try instant Maxwell House. Instantly good to the last drop. Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler.
Burns and Allen on Tuned 2 yesterday from February 17th, 1949 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.